Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, live from Maui. What's up?
Not much, just, you know, we're in Maui.
We're literally looking at the ocean right now, watching the waves hit the shore, so.
It's pretty great. It's good for a couple of reasons. I like recording and being in the same room with you so I can tell who's going to talk when and stuff like that. So it's good for that reason, but then obviously, yeah, the ocean stuff.
That's yeah, pretty cool. It is easier recording in the same room, which is nice, and the ocean is great. So we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to start with the World Cup final preview. Final is Sunday. France is playing Croatia. Then we're going to get into some NBA stuff, some free agency, some summer league stuff. I wrote an article about the NBA that y'all should check out at mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. We're going to talk about that as well. But we're going to start with the World Cup. Let's break down those semifinals matchups. You want to start with the Croatia-England game?
Yeah.
England lost, which made me happy.
Yeah, see, I wanted England simply because a France-England World Cup would have been so much fun.
That would have been dope.
Could have been, you know, 100 Years War jokes. There could have been Joan of Arc jokes, Henry V jokes.
William the Conqueror, Battle of Hastings,
yeah.
You know, all that European history stuff.
All sorts of fun things that I would have enjoyed. I don't know how much you as the people would have enjoyed it.
Miss Gardner would have been proud.
Oh, yeah, she would have been all over that.
Yeah, but I just felt like, I know they only lost 2-1 to Croatia, and it was an extra time, but I felt like Croatia dominated the game. Like, England's only shot on target was their goal, that free kick they made. Croatia had like 11 shots or 14 shots on target, I think. They had more possession. I felt like they just dominated. So England, I felt, despite, I know it sucks losing like that, but they got dominated, I feel like.
Yeah, Croatia, I thought, played better too. It was, the commentator for the game said something interesting. I believe, I don't think it was Stu Holden, I think it was the color commentator. But anywho, he said that it was almost like England scored too early, and what he meant by that was that it just invited Croatia to attack and attack and attack, and that England ended up just kind of playing the whole game on their heels.
Yeah, it was kind of like the 2006 final where France scored in the 8th minute or something. Then Italy had the whole game to tie it.
Right.
And I think they tied in the 7th minute or something. Yeah, France scored in like the 8th minute, then Italy had 80 minutes of pressure and they got a goal.
Yeah. I mean, obviously in that situation, like, if you're offered a goal in the 5th minute, you take it, but it's kind of weird, like, you just really, I guess, have to play more open and aggressive or something, but then if you get scored on, then you feel dumb for playing like that, so.
Yeah, it's like, you can't protect the lead for that long, but yeah, England looked like they were playing not to lose, and Croatia, and they'd come back. Croatia came back against Russia from a goal deficit, also in their quarterfinal matchup, it was round of 16. Matchup there, so there. That was the third straight game they trailed, and they came back to tie it. So they felt confident they would be able to make up that deficit, and I thought they looked confident. Mandzukic's goal was sweet. I know Croatia played really well, but their forward Mario Mandzukic, he didn't really do a whole lot until that extra time. The 90 minutes, he seemed kind of stifled, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was a really good goal. It's like, and I mean, you don't think of, you know, Croatia is a really good footballing team, but, you know, like, Luka Modric plays for Real Madrid, Rakitic plays for Barca, Mandzukic plays for Juventus, so he's going to get to go play with Ronaldo now, so.
Yeah, I think Modric has maybe been the best player of the tournament. I've been really impressed by him.
Yeah, he's been good. Yeah, I've been excited about this because, I mean, I certainly didn't call this, but I felt like I was medium high on Croatia. Like, I remember when we did our preview, I was saying that Argentina was in a sneaky, difficult group because I thought Croatia was good, and I thought Croatia was going to end up winning that group, so.
Yeah, once the bracket came out, I said Croatia's going to the final. I do remember that, so I'm happy about that. I didn't say it in the group stage, but yeah, so Croatia. Then on the other side, that France-Belgium matchup, France won 1-0, and they are just so talented. Yeah. We've talked about this before, but it's incredible. So that matchup, Belgium, really good. This is the best Belgium's ever been in their country's history. But France, I think, is the most talented team, definitely in this World Cup, maybe in the last couple World Cups, just pure talent.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how many really good players they have. So, I mean, they're definitely the favorite against Croatia. But do you think that what, I guess, does Croatia need to do to pull this off? Because obviously they can.
Well, here's what Croatia does really well that I've been impressed with, and I think they're going to be able to do at least semi well against France, is their midfield with Modric and Rakitic, and then they got Vida holding up the back line, and Perisic, I don't know how to say his name. Like, honestly, their whole, like, central midfield back line, I feel like, is solid, because France, they're coming at you with Mbappe, Antoine Griezmann, Paul Pogba, Giroud. They got so many incredible attacking players who can play so many different positions and switch in and out. So I think for Croatia to be stout, hold the midfield up, they only allowed 4 goals in European qualifying the entire time. Obviously, France is a lot better than most of the teams they were playing against. But I think for Croatia to win, they're going to have to do what they've done the whole tournament. Even if they concede a goal, just kind of stay within themselves, control the possession, control the game, let Modric do his thing, and just not hope for like a sneaky goal, but just believe they're going to get a goal and not panic. Because if France goes up, I wouldn't be surprised if they're the ones who score first, or if even early, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it is. And I mean, this is going to be a really interesting midfield matchup, because France is going to have Pogba and N'Golo Kante. And so that's definitely going to be the best midfield that Croatia's played against so far. So should be a really good game.
Yeah, and Umtiti, I don't know how to pronounce half these names, but he played really well coming up the wing. Who do you think gets the win? Let's hear your picks.
I'm going to say France 2-1.
France 2-1?
Yep.
I want to pick Croatia, but I'm also going to say France. I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah.
France.
I would love for Croatia to win. I think that'd be – because we've got a buddy who came over from Croatia a little while ago, Alex Lubicic.
Shout out to Alex.
Love me some Alex. So we'll definitely – I'll be cheering for Croatia anyway, even though I think France probably ends up winning.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool if Croatia won. Yeah, they only have about 4 million people in their country, which is like Phoenix has about 4 million people. So yeah,
that's nuts.
It'd be sweet. Well, let's talk really quick. We didn't really plan to talk about this, but Ronaldo's going to Juventus.
That is going to happen.
That is shocking. Any thoughts?
Well, I saw that he is going to get paid $64 million a year. To put that in context, LeBron makes $38 million. Obviously, they both make a lot more than that with Nike. So they're both. But, I mean, just to make $20 million more than LeBron does in the NBA, that is going to be a very rich man.
Yeah, it looks like Ronaldo and LeBron have similar deals, in the sense that they both have lifetime endorsement deals from Nike worth $1 billion. And for Ronaldo, for both of them, but especially Ronaldo, that's probably an undersell for like how much value he brings to Nike.
Yeah,
but funny. Yeah, they're both doing very well for themselves.
Yeah. Because Jordan Brand is $1 billion, right?
Like this, the net value of that?
I thought it was.
Let's see.
Or, well, I think Michael Jordan as a person is valued at $1 billion.
His net worth is over $1 billion, yeah.
Yeah, Jordan Brand I don't think is quite that much, but you factor in, you know, his team and Gatorade endorsements and his Nike deal.
Yeah, it looks like in 2015, Jordan earned, it was the most recent data I have, Jordan earned $110 million. That's like total earnings, so that's after taxes and like all the costs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're both very rich. So that's going to be interesting to see Ronaldo play in Italy, and especially how that affects La Liga, because obviously Real Madrid is fine. They're going to be able to buy enough people, and they're a really talented team without Ronaldo, but they're still losing the best player in the world.
It's true, yeah. Do you think Juventus wins Champions League now? They're going to be very good.
They're pretty good. Yeah, they have Mandžukić, actually, the Croatian.
Yeah.
And I think – I'm surprised Bayern Munich, honestly, hasn't done as well, because I think they're probably top to bottom, the most talented team. I've never been an Higuaín fan, partially because I'm biased. I do love me some Cuadrado, the Colombian.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, it looks – they got Dybala. They've got a couple Argentinians who play really well for their club team that don't play well for the national team.
Yeah. So I think – shocker, right? I don't know. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they won because Ronaldo, but I'm surprised Bayern Munich hasn't been winning more. I just think they're top to bottom, most talented team. Basically, the entire German squad, plus you got Hans Rodriguez, Arturo Vidal. They got Xabi Alonso still, who's not as good as he used to be. But
yeah,
I would think one of those two teams, Juve or Bayern Munich.
I think that's also who I would pick. But no, that'll be interesting. I'm excited to see. I bet the Italian league. What is the Italian league called? They're going to get a lot more attention.
Serie A.
Serie A, yes, I knew that. But yeah, they're going to be. I bet their games get a lot more televised now. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting.
That will be interesting. Well, let's transition that to NBA free agency, going from Ronaldo to LeBron. LeBron announced, we already did a free agency podcast, but LeBron announced he was going to the Lakers. Literally 20 minutes after we recorded the show. So, and we haven't gotten to record another one since, because that was on July 9th.
It's like LeBron doesn't even listen to this show. And just...
it was in July. He announced it like July 2nd. He just signed with them the 9th. But
yeah,
very inconsiderate of LeBron. But let's talk about it. We're going to talk about all the free agency deals we missed right off the bat. No one's really, I think we both thought LeBron was going to LA. I don't remember what we said on the show.
I think we both thought that, yeah.
What I am surprised by, the signings that the Lakers made after Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, that doesn't scream, let's beat Golden State to me, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to look at, are they those short contracts that they can clear out after a year and try to sign? I mean, Rondo, playoff Rondo is one of the best point guards in the league.
I love playoff Rondo.
So it just kind of depends. Although I think with LeBron, he's not necessarily the point guard you want. I think you want more of a shooting point guard to play with LeBron. So I don't know how that works out. I think Lance Stephenson, if he plays like he has played at Indiana, then I think that ends up working out well. Because, you know, he can defend. He's an okay shooter, a pretty good scorer, I think. So... JaVale McGee, though, is, I do not think, what LeBron is hoping for.
No, especially because, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but all three of them, so McGee, Rondo, and Stevenson signed one-year contracts, so that means in 2019 they could just try to sign Kawhi Leonard in free agency, or that's when they're going to have a lot of cap room. So even the year before, they were positioning for this 2019 summer. So, and LeBron, what I thought was more surprising was his contract was a four-year contract, and Cleveland, he'd be doing those 1 year plus a player option on the end to just know kind of keep control. I think part of that was because of Dan Gilbert, but he just signed a 4 year straight up. I've heard conflicting reports about if the fourth year is a player option or not. But either way, minimum 3 year contract. So it looks like he's going more for settling down and being in LA than chasing a championship every single year necessarily.
Yeah, and I think, 2019 is going to be real interesting because that's the year the Jazz want. That's the year the Lakers want. So I think that is going to be a really, really big year.
Let's, about JaVale McGee. So everybody got mad when DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Lakers, or excuse me, with the Warriors for the mid-level exception. So it was $5.4 million for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lakers could have signed him. They didn't want to sign him. He ruptured his Achilles. And he's kind of been hectic in the locker room. But pretty much every team could have signed DeMarcus Cousins. New Orleans didn't, and they had him. I feel like that was selling for a lot of other teams. So everybody's been mad at Golden State. Get mad at your own team for not signing him. You know, it's not his fault.
Well, I guess, but the other thing is figure out if your own team even wants him. Like, I would have been upset if the Jazz used the mid-level exception on DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I would have been, because he's coming, like, the earliest I've heard he can come back is February.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's all-star DeMarcus Cousins. I get he was an all-star last year, but, like, it takes you forever to come back from a torn Achilles. So
yeah. It's
not like he's going to be able to contribute right away. And the Warriors did lose McGee, so their front court is going to be really interesting. It doesn't really matter, but the first part of the season is going to be really interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'd be a little bit worried about their seed, but I mean, I think they still have a big enough gap on those teams like the Jazz and the Thunder and the Blazers. Well, it'll be a little interesting to see what the Thunder do with Melo reportedly trying to leave and then them trying to get rid of him. But yeah, I mean, because I think the Rockets got worse. So, and I think they showed that they can beat the Rockets with the two seed, especially now that they lost Mbamute. and Ariza. So that's the one I'm interested in, because the Rockets, I really thought, could have beat the Warriors, and I'm not sure they're going to have the squad this year to be able to do it.
Yeah, the Rockets, I think those were maybe the two biggest signings in free agency, is the Phoenix Suns signing Trevor Ariza, and then the Clippers getting back Luke Mbamute, because that was so key to Houston. They were so improved defensively. It was because of Mute and Ariza them being able to switch, especially for a team like the Warriors. Losing both of those, and they still haven't signed Capella, but losing both of those guys and replacing with Michael Carter-Williams, and they signed one other player who I'm on Houston's website right now, but they signed two players who are not close to Ariza and Mbamute in terms of shooting or defense. So I think Houston got dramatically worse to the point where I don't think they're a title contender anymore.
Yeah, that's going to be – well, then who are the title contenders? Because it's got to be – it's the Warriors, and that's really probably the only team in the West, unless you think that, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert both get much better. Because then I think you're looking at probably the healthy Celtics, because I don't think that the Sixers are really a team that can compete.
No, I think the Sixers are the third team. I think it's a clear-cut Golden State number one, clear-cut Boston number two, then the Sixers top of the third group. There's more teams in that tier with Philly.
Well, yeah, because I think the Jazz are better than the Sixers.
But they're not getting out of the West. If the Jazz were in the East.
Well, in that sense, yeah.
Because, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think Houston is better than the Sixers, but in terms of, like, who can contend for a title, you have to make it to the finals. I don't think – I said this about Germany, so I might not be the best answer, but – no one but Golden State is, as of right now, is going to the finals in the West. So in the East, it's Boston, I think, is a clear favorite. I think it's interesting that we just stopped talking about Toronto. And they beat Boston and Philadelphia last year in the regular season. They just had the unfortunate of Cleveland sucking so bad that they dropped to the fourth seed. So they had to play LeBron in the semifinals instead of the finals of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know what to think, because that was the best year in franchise history, but they fired their coach, Dwayne Casey, but replaced him with an assistant on that team who's supposed to be like the offensive guru, which was what really changed this year for Toronto. DeRozan's still there. I've heard him in trade rumors, but nothing serious. I think it's interesting that we stopped talking about them, but part of that is because we expect Philadelphia to be better, and Hayward and Kyrie Irving are going to be hypothetically healthy the entire year for Boston.
Yeah, no, the Celtics, I think, with Hayward and Kyrie and Brad Stevens being an evil basketball wizard, I think they legitimately could beat the Warriors. Because in that 1 year that they won 73-9, yeah, the Celtics beat them at least once, maybe twice.
Yeah, in Golden State.
Way better than that.
Yeah, that'll be – excuse me. Let's see. So let's just go through the starting lineups for those teams, because why not? So point guard, you got Kyrie versus Steph. I think Steph's better, but it's pretty close.
I'm kind of low on Kyrie compared to everybody else. I think that Steph Curry's pretty clearly better than.
So Golden State gets the edge right there.
Yeah.
Shooting guard, you got Klay versus, really, Boston's 2 through 4 is interchangeable, but we'll put Jason Tatum at the 2. I'm going Klay, but Jason Tatum, I think, is a better ball handler, can switch defensively, so that's going to be helpful. It's just for Klay, I think, is more important or better for Golden State than Jason Tatum is for Boston, but Tatum's really good.
Tatum is really good. I still think Klay is a better defender, and for what Golden State's asking him to do, I think he is more important than Jason Tatum.
All right, then we got the 3. This isn't fair. We got Kevin Durant, Gordon Hayward. This isn't us just being biased because we're Jazz fans. Kevin Durant's clearly a better player than Gordon Hayward.
I don't think anyone's going to accuse us of bias on that one.
I mean, and then so we'll switch to power forward. Jaylen Brown's not really a power forward, but when they do that lineup with Tate, they never actually got to do it. But their hypothetical lineup's going to be Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown at the 4, and then Horford at the 5. So we got Jaylen Brown against Draymond Green. Again, Draymond Green's clearly better. I think his trade value is as high as it's going to be. I know some people are really high on his future. I think he's going to be a good, not great player. He was number 3 pick, but in a bad draft. One thing I've read is that he could be Kawhi or like a Kawhi type or like close to that. I don't think he's going to get there. So I think, and this is a different discussion, but I think Boston should try to trade him for like a Kawhi Leonard or an Anthony Davis in New Orleans, like, he should be kind of the focal point of that trade package. Boston's not into that. Like, they want to keep their whole core. But anyway, so Draymond Green gets the edge at the four. Yep. Right there.
I like Jaylen Brown a lot, but I don't think you can really argue that.
Yeah. And then at the five, you got Al Horford. Do we want to say DeMarcus Cousins? Well, because Zaza Pachulia is obviously worse than Al Horford. Al Horford's really good, but if we're going with, let's say, a healthy Boogie, Boogie's probably better. Like, Al Horford does some things better than him, but DeMarcus Cousins is still a better player. You know, especially, like, all five of those guys can shoot.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, pre-DeMarcus Cousins is definitely a better player than Al Horford. We don't know about post-Achilles DeMarcus Cousins, so that's going to be interesting to see. And again, because I think we should say DeMarcus Cousins because we're talking about the playoffs, and that's, you know, he's going to be back for that. He would certainly be back for the finals. But, you know, Al Horford, again, is kind of like Klay Thompson, where we said Jason Tatum might be a better player, might be able to do more things, but the way the Warriors are using him, the Klay Thompson ends up getting the edge. I think the way that Boston uses Al Horford, I think Al Horford is probably a better player than Gordon Hayward and maybe more important for what they're doing, especially now that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have kind of come out.
Yeah, that was a big, like, it was a big signing when he signed from Atlanta to Boston for the Max a couple years ago, but I think he's been more crucial than people thought he would, because he was there before Kyrie and before Hayward, and I think Jaylen Brown was on the roster but a rookie, so, like, Danny Ainge had the vision to see how important Horford was going to be getting that first quote-unquote star. Where I think Boston would have the edge against Golden State is the bench, and that comes with an asterisk because you got Marcus Smart, who I love, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris or Markieff Morris. I think Marcus, but I'm not positive. They got and all those guys saw starting action because of injuries last year. The thing with Marcus Smart, he's a restricted free agent right now, and reportedly Boston hasn't reached out to him or offered him a contract. They're waiting for him to get a qualifying offer, which is kind of bugging. It bugs a lot of restricted free agents. The same thing happened to Hayward in Utah, but it's smart for Boston because Marcus Smart's trying to get 10 to 12 million a year, and they're going to probably get him for like 3 to 5 million. Mm-hmm. Like, no one can offer him anything. And it just sucks he picked a crappy year to be a restricted free agent. So that'll be interesting to see looking forward how that relationship with Marcus Smart, because he doesn't do a lot of stuff like statistically great, but he's so important to the Celtics and what they do, and his plus minus is off the charts. He's a big part of that, especially like depth wise. If Terry Rozier's like really the only ball handling guard off the bench for them, and not Marcus Smart, that's going to hurt them a lot, I think.
Yeah, no, I do think that even without Marcus Smart, the Celtics still probably have a better bench. But I don't think that much of a chance without Marcus Smart. I think they need both him and Terry Rozier. And I love Terry Rozier, by the way. I love watching him in the playoffs.
Terry Rozier is dope. I love the thing he was doing, Drew Bledsoe. I think he wore that Bledsoe jersey, like, not on accident, but, like, he didn't think it'd become a huge thing with him and Drew Bledsoe, and now they're, like, buddies or whatever. So that was funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's look. There's a couple other stuff I want to talk about. The Thunder, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard? We need to talk about Kevin Anderson at some point. Anything you particularly care about?
Dwight Howard, that's going to be interesting. He's such an interesting player because, like, he's averaged a double-double this entire time that nobody's wanted him.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see him and John Wall and Bradley Beal in the same locker room.
Yeah.
Honestly. And the Wizards, they traded for Rivers. What's his first name?
Austin
Rivers. That kid's a punk. But they trade for him, so they have, like, a weird – they're going to be, like, the Clippers East now, basically,
yeah,
in terms of, like, this functionality. I do – Washington's another team. Like, I feel like they're better than the AC, but John Wall got hurt. They technically played better without him. Like, they're just a weird team. So I feel like they need to switch stuff up with Washington because John Wall's a top 15 to 20 player, one of the best point guards in the league. Beal's a really good player. They just have a weird roster, and it's not going well for him. So I don't know what the Dwight Howard thing was doing. So that's going to be interesting to see, A, that's just going to be fun locker room to pay attention to. But going forward, like what Washington does with their locker room, their lineup.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of blowing it up generally, but I think that Washington probably does have to blow it up.
Yeah, just because same. Well, them and I feel the same way about Detroit. Like, what's the best they can do right now? Like Detroit, you got Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Like, what was the point of that trade? They're not really ready to contend right now. And with Washington, I feel like their best shot was a couple years ago. Last year, they took Toronto to 6 in the first round, which was good, but they just kind of the whole season was kind of a waste. I really like Kelly Oubre. Like, I really think they have some good pieces, but I don't know if it's – I've never thought Scott Brooks was an incredible coach. I felt like in Oklahoma City kind of undermined – not undermined, but didn't maximize the talent. Same thing in Washington. So, I don't – I love watching them, but I don't love – where they're going
what
as an
they
organization.
Can actually do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the problem is, like, I don't know what you do because nobody's going to take that John Wall contract. And there's not much that you can do while you've got it on the roster, so you probably have to end up trading Bradley Beal. And, well, I mean, and you can get people who want Otto Porter. You can get people who want Kelly Oubre. So you can do some things there with draft picks. John Wall would not be happy, though. If you do that,
John Wall would not be happy. He's an interesting fellow. One thing, let's talk real quick. The Spurs signed Kyle Anderson Grizzlies. Kyle Anderson from San Antonio. Tony Parker went to Charlotte. So, I mean, Kawhi is hypothetically unhappy. San Antonio, I feel like they're losing this mystique, like the Boston or New England mystique of like, you know, clear-cut, best-run organization. They do everything right. They're unquestionable. I feel like they're kind of losing that.
Yeah, and it's – I don't know. It is weird, but I think we're finally going to have a playoff year without the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah. It's finally happening.
Obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge is really good. I love DeJounte Murray. He's going to be, I think, a third-year point guard for them. They got Bellini. Rudy Gay opted out of his contract. I love Danny Green. And they still got Lonnie Walker, their first-round pick in Miami. We talked about it on the last show. I think he's really good. So they still have talent, but you don't look at him like, oh, they can compete for even a top-4 spot in the West.
Yeah, no, if I'm them, I see if you can – I mean, get what you can for Kawhi. I think you maybe also want to think about trading LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, which is ironic because he wanted to be traded, and San Antonio tried to keep him so hard, and they got him to stay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because they were the 7th seed, and they were ahead of Denver by, like, a game, or, two games at the most. Like, so they were really close to missing the playoffs. And then Denver, I think, is going to be not necessarily better, but they're still going to be just as good. Minnesota, I think, is going to be better than, what they were last year in terms of the 8th seed. They're another team we'll have to talk about because they're really kind of all over the place with Wiggins and Butler trying to leave in Towns. Unhappy and everything like that. I would be unhappy if I were in Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
But I do not know. From what I hear, they don't want to trade Kawhi at all. They definitely will not trade him to the Lakers from what I've heard. So that kind of leaves Boston and Philadelphia as like the top two teams trying to trade for Kawhi. But it sounds like they might wait till the deadline if they move him at all, which I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but we'll see what happens. One other team I want to talk. You want to talk about Minnesota or Cleveland?
Cleveland, it's been a fun 4 years, but I think we're probably done with you, right?
Well, the only thing, I think Colin Sexton's going to be really good. I heard they don't want to move Kevin Love, and by that I mean they don't want to move Kevin Love until the trade deadline because I heard his value is going to go up by then. So when they say they don't want to trade Kevin Love or they're expecting a lot for Kevin Love, that's just them saying, like, we know we're going to suck this year and we're going to trade him. We just don't want to trade him to the trade deadline because there will be a desperate team like, I don't know, like a San Antonio or like a Denver or a Utah who, if they're, let's say, in 10th place and their fan base is expecting a playoff run, you know, make a splash trade for Kevin Love. So I think they're waiting for some – or even maybe – I don't know, like a Washington or a Toronto, something like that, you know? So yeah. I feel like Cleveland's waiting for that. So that's what's going on with Kevin Love. I was going to talk about Memphis because they signed Kyle Anderson, who I think is a good player, but they're still going to be Memphis. I don't expect them to make a serious playoff push. Let's see. New Orleans signed Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton. I've never liked Elfrid Payton's game, so I feel like he's a worse version of Rondo, and Randle's obviously a worse version of Cousins. So that's a team. Them and Portland, I both think, are going to take steps back in the West this year.
And San Antonio.
So that leaves teams. I really think – I hate Denver, but I really think they're going to be better. I think Utah's going to be better. I do not know what's going to happen with Oklahoma City because they've basically the same team that kind of found their groove a little bit at the end. Carmelo is probably going to be gone. It looks like they're just looking for a way to either sign and trade him, or they're going to waive him and stretch out his contract so it's a less of a salary cap hit over 4 years instead of just 1 year for Oklahoma City. But they were like good, not great last year. They signed Paul George, which I'm super shocked by for a lot of reasons. We already talked about, I think, though, on that last show.
We did, yeah.
But what do you think, Oklahoma City? Do you think they're going forward or back?
Well, I think now they've just got some stability, so it's going to be a lot easier for them to actually build something, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say forward.
All right.
I'm interested to see how well Roberson can defend without Achilles, but
that's true. Yeah, they're going to replace Roberson or Melo with Roberson hypothetically, even though he was starting. So their lineup, let's figure this out. It's going to be Westbrook, Roberson, Paul George, Steven Adams at the five. Who's going to be their starting four?
I don't think we know.
Let's look at their – because they signed Raymond Felton again.
Maybe –
did they sign Nerlens Noel?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, it's maybe, probably going to be – no,
Hammer, Jerry, and Grant probably. I would say Jerry and Grant, who I thought had a pretty good series against the Jazz.
Yeah, he did okay. Man, they just don't have a good team. I've never liked that Abrines guy, the Spanish dude with the mutton chop facial hair.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to go down. You're higher on Russell Westbrook than I am.
Well, I mean, my thought with Russell Westbrook is, like, who would you rather have taking the shots on the Thunder? Like, and really, the game six against Utah was probably one of the only games where Paul George hasn't had enough shots, but he only went 2 for 12. You know?
Yeah.
So my thing has always been, like, get Russell Westbrook some shooters, get him some people who can score, and then we can criticize his efficiency numbers. But until he's not the best option, then his low efficiency shots, I think, are better than pretty much everybody else's shot on his team.
Fair point. I'm glad he doesn't play for Utah. I think he's a really good player. I just don't think with him as the focal point, they're ever going to win a championship.
Yeah, and I think he knows that. I think he has – but I think the other thing is if you get him more shooters, then he's not going to have to take those outside shots, and it's going to be easier for him to drive.
It is amazing how bad Andre Roberson is at shooting. He's like a 39 or 41% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Which mathematically I don't get at all because – you know, you should be able to make half of them. It's not that far away.
Yeah. Well, and that's how good of a defender that he is that he still gets to be on the floor.
Yeah, which is crazy. I would have liked to see – I'm glad he wasn't there, but I would have liked to see the Utah Jazz match up in the playoffs with Roberson guarding Mitchell and then Paul George guarding Joe Ingles, which is fantastic. But instead of George the primary defender on Donovan Mitchell with Roberson on him, seeing how Mitchell handled that as a rookie – would be really interesting.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Jazz for a sec?
Yeah, let's talk about
lack of moves.
Yeah, Utah hasn't done anything, which really worries me.
Yeah. See, my thing is that they're shooting for 2019, and that's probably the best thing to do because if you do it, if you try to go after a big name this year, you have to get rid of Jarebko, which we actually did. So, and we're gonna have to wait and see who we bring back. You have to get rid of Jarebko, you have to get rid of Exum, you have to get rid of Favors, you have to get rid of Udo, and you have to get rid of Cephalosha. Whereas next year, it looks like really you're just getting rid of Burks and Favors to bring in that star. And so I feel like the price of bringing in that star is a lot lower. So I think that probably is the smartest thing to do unless somebody shows me a roster move that they could have made. I mean, like, if Paul George wants to come here, then you make that happen, but he wasn't going to come here. He was going to stay in Oklahoma City. So I just don't know who we were supposed to add.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think so. They signed Derek Favors and Dante Exum to pretty big contracts, especially Dante Exum, 3 years, $33 million. And we could possibly do a signing trade still. Derek Favors is $18 million a year, but the second year is a team option. I'm just really worried about, let's say, Rudy gets hurt again, or Mitchell gets hurt or something like that. And then going forward, I feel like this was, momentum-wise, the time to sign free agents, even if market-wise it wasn't the best time. And there's still Jabari Parker, Clint Capella. We don't really want Capella just fit-wise as much, but he's available. Marcus Smart, like we talked about, is still available. Oh, hey, Rodney Hood's available still.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, Marcus Smart would be good, but I think with the Jazz, you really want to get better shooters, although he'd be a really great fit defensively. Jabari Parker, I don't know that we're sure that he can stay healthy. I think we still have questions about that. I don't know. And, I mean, I'm higher on Derek Favors than a lot of other people because he can back up Rudy Gobert, and when so by doing that you have a top 10 rim protector on the floor 100% of the time. But more of what I like about his deal is because the second year isn't guaranteed, he becomes $18 million of expiring contract. And that's a really valuable trade asset that we can use this year if we do want to do that, and we think that's a way to get Kevin Love.
I was going to say that, Kevin Love. I would love that so much.
See, and I think that is much more viable, and I think it makes a lot more sense because of bird rights and other salary cap issues. I think that's a lot more feasible way to get a star, A, by we don't have to convince them, but B, I just think it works better with the way that the NBA salary cap works.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. I don't think the Jazz are done necessarily. I'm interested to see if that last roster spot, Grayson Allen, I think he's going to get it over George's Niang. I think it's how you pronounce his name.
Never known.
It sounds like we signed – so the Jazz signed Jairus Long, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. That's a mouthful. The guard who helped beat Virginia to a contract. The press release did not say if it was a guaranteed, non-guaranteed two-way contract. It also sounds like we're going to sign Stanton Kidd, who's been on our summer league team. So there might just be non-guaranteed contracts for camp, and then we'll waive them unless they stand out. But it sounds like the Jazz are pretty set.
Yeah. And the other thing is we still have that mid-level exception. So it's still possible that that's the best that the Jabari Parker can do, or more likely the best that Marcus Smart can do.
I would rather have Jabari Parker, but I would love – to take Marcus Smart from Boston.
It would work really well, you know, and he and I think Grayson Allen are kind of doing something similar. I think we'd be a little guard heavy, and I think we'd rather have that shooting power forward, but I think it would work really, really well.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see. I'm surprised nothing's happened with Jabari Parker yet.
Yeah, going to be interesting. So yeah, we still got a while of free agency to go, so we'll continue to talk about this.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We are going to talk really quick, unless there's anything you're looking at about this isn't really super relevant, but Dante DiVincenzo, that Villanova guy who they drafted, he only signed a two-year contract with Milwaukee. Seems pretty short, especially his first-round pick, middle of the first round. Mm-hmm. But your boy, yours truly, wrote an article called the All NBA Double Take Team. That's on mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. Check it out. Matt, you edited it. Did you enjoy reading it?
Yeah, it was a good time. I mean, you might explain the theory of the article. I thought it was clever.
So here's the theory, and it's based off of TJ McConnell. I wrote way more about TJ McConnell than I'd ever want to or thought I would in my entire life. But it's basically like, you know, you're watching an NBA game and some dude comes on you haven't heard of in 3 years or whatever, and you have to do a double take. Like, he's still playing basketball. He's still alive. So every time, I'm surprised TJ McConnell, I felt like he played like 11 years for the University of Arizona, and then he's still playing for Philadelphia. I thought he'd be out of the league a while ago, but he's still there kicking around. So that's what inspired me. So there's five guys and then some honorable mention, but I think it's pretty. I thought it was pretty funny. I liked it. I worked hard on it. It was fun to write. But that was basically the general concept of it. It's just my top five dudes who I'm surprised are still playing basketball or made me do a double take every time they checked in.
Yeah. It is, to me, surprising reading about all these dudes and just thinking, wow, these guys can play in the NBA, but Jimmer can't.
And that's a whole different show we can get into.
So, sometime there really is going to be no news, like in August or maybe like the first week of September. And we're just going to do a Jimmer show. I don't know how much Jake is excited about that, but.
I mean, we got to talk about something, right? Yeah, maybe before football season we'll figure something out. But yeah, so the article's up there. It's called All NBA Double Take Team. Check it out. It's mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. The links for it are also on our Twitter page at mjdoubletake. And then on Instagram, there's not a link for that, but you should check our Instagram out. It's at mjdoubletake as well. Our Twitter and Twitter handles are jacobcowden28. That's my Instagram as well. Matt's Twitter is mattcowden24. Check it out there. The email, if you want to email the show, hit us up. Tell us how great we're doing at mjdoubletake@gmail.com. Feel free to like us. Give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Does iHeartRadio do reviews?
You're the technology guy.
That's the only one I'm not sure of. But review us 5 stars. Subscribe. We really appreciate all the support, everyone. So thank you so much for listening. And I just want to remind everybody one more time, we're currently looking at a palm tree overlooking the ocean in Maui right now.
It's pretty great, but we love you enough to take a break from that.
Yes.
And provide a podcast.
Took a break from our vacation for our loyal listeners. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you guys later.